Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Truly, beloved, it is great to be with you here today. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. I thank God for this day. I thank Him for each and every one of you. It is always, always a pleasure, to be with you, always. So I am grateful. I am very grateful. Today, I just want to make an announcement, but I'm trying to get something straight here for a moment. Trying to get something straight on the studio here. So just bear with me for one moment. Tabika, if you're not getting everything, just go ahead and press one on your keypad. And I'll pull you in from this side. Okay, Tabika?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all righty. We'll figure out the other stuff at another time. But
okay.
You're in with me as it stands now. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All righty. Well, folks, let me start with my good mornings, first of all, and then my announcement. Good morning to Tamika Shelton. Good morning to you, beloved, as always, and to your mother, Lady Joyce. God bless you, woman of God. To Joyce in New York, praise be unto God. To Prophetess Dorn, to Prophetess Kim, to the Crawfords in North Carolina, Isaiah in Chicago, Isaiah in Pennsylvania. Good morning to you all, and to any and everyone else that is on the line, good morning to you. I don't know everyone's numbers associated, you know, their names associated with the numbers, but there are many familiar numbers that are here. Good morning to you. Thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for being with us always. I truly appreciate each and every one of you. I appreciate each and every one of you. And it is because of your appreciation for the show, you know, that we were able to go ahead and extend our show back to the hour instead of the half an hour time. And that was due to us being sponsored by someone. So I thank God for that, that someone actually has sponsored us. And so to God be the glory. Any of the rest of you on here that would like to sponsor a month of shows, you may do so at the cost of $39 a month. You may do so. Make it an even $40 if you so decide to. But you may sponsor a month of shows. And it will be truly appreciated, not only by me, but by those that are listening. So we appreciate that. And the announcement that I want to make today, y'all know that many times, you know, that I am not here, that Minister Tabika Garnes, she stands in for me. She covers the show, and she does an excellent, excellent job on the show. And so I have since asked her to become the co-host of the show. So she will now be co-hosting with me and not just filling in for me. So I just want to thank you and welcome you, Tabika, to the position as co-host for the show. So good morning to you, beloved.
Good morning, beloved. Thank you so much for the opportunity and believing in me and just giving me a chance. I see God, this is a way of opening a door to other things to come. So I just want to say thank you.
Amen. And thank you. Thank you for being trainable. Thank you for being willing. Thank you for being available. To God be the glory. I also want to say extra thank you to Lady Joyce. And Saints of God, you know, it's one thing when you are a radio show listener and you listen, you come in every morning and listen, and truly hear me when I say that I appreciate that to the utmost. And Lady Joyce has gone a step above and beyond. Whenever she saw me in a pickle and saw me or heard me struggling, you know, as far as for trying to get folks to communicate back with me, she would jump in there and she would, you know, say something and encourage me and so forth. If I asked a question and nobody else was answering it, Lady Joyce would answer. And then I understand last week, Tabika, was it last week, sweetheart, where you started coughing or something and Lady Joyce jumped in?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All righty. Were you going to say something, sweetie? Go ahead.
No, ma'am. I was just answering. Yes, that was last Saturday.
Okay, all righty. And, you know, and Lady Joyce jumped in and filled in and covered while Tabika was having her coughing spell. She's done it for me. And that's just awesome. It's just awesome all the way around. And so I just want to say extra thank you, beloved. Thank you. You've been more than just a listening supporter, but you are truly a participating supporter. And my thanks, my love, my heart goes out to you. Thank you so very, very much. Thank you. Okay. All righty. Well, this is the day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we will start with having prayer. We'll start with having prayer. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we do thank you, we honor you, and we bless you. We magnify your holy name because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, and God, there is none like you. I thank you so much for this day, for it is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing in it as we are speaking right now. Heavenly Father, I ask you to be with us throughout this day. Be with us, O God, on this show. Father, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Let every single thing that we need, Father, that it is done, it is given to us, Lord God. I thank you, Father, as you let the blessings of the Lord chase us down and overtake us, that we will not be a body of lack, but one, Lord God, that has more than enough so that we're able to bless so many others on this day. Lord God, draw according to your will. Draw by your spirit, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now for healing, deliverance, sanctification, justification, Lord God. I thank you for reconciliation, restoration. I thank you for salvation. Lord God, I thank you just for who you are. God, bless us as we continue to bless each other. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. All righty. Well, this is a first time for Tabika and I to be doing the show, you know, together like this. And we don't have it pinpointed who's going to say what or anything like that today. So we're just going to go ahead in our discussion. And, you know, if you see that there may be a moment where we stumble over each other, because like I said, I don't have it sketched out. Oh, well, I'm going to say this and you're going to say that. We're just going to let the Holy Spirit flow and we're just going to move accordingly. Tabika, please do not be afraid to speak up, my dear. Talk.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. And let it be. Let it be. To God be the glory. All right. Well, look, today we're going to be having a discussion here, and it's coming from this book called Is God a Chauvinist? is God a chauvinist? And this is called The Bible and Women, a complete look at the Bible and women. And today what we're going to discuss is that infamous chapter in Proverbs 31, dealing with the virtuous woman, And as I was reading, through this on last night, I found some very interesting points in here, and I shared with Bika, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. I think every woman, every Christian woman, at least at some point in time, has heard about the virtuous woman. And that is in Proverbs 31, written by Solomon. And people in the body of Christ have no problem in pointing out to us the qualities of a spiritual woman. And even though these qualities there are many qualities spoken about in the Bible, the ones that are spoken about the most is the virtuous woman chapter. Just about every Christian woman, like I said, especially those who are married, those that who were married, are married, or intend on getting married, this is a chapter that is normally brought to her attention. It is done as a means to see whether or not she basically cuts the mustard when it comes to being virtuous. Is she that type of woman? Is she, pure and righteous and ethical and ineffectual and innocent and so forth and so on? And, it has so many qualities that are listed here. And so, the man has been told basically, line her up with that. See if she meets those qualifications. Her mother, her spiritual mentor, her pastor, whatever the case may be, will tell her, read that chapter, and do what you can to line yourself up with this. And what is amazing, and we're gonna read through that chapter, part of it anyway. And while I'm speaking about this, Tabika, if you can, sweetheart, get Proverbs 31 starting at verse 10. Proverbs 31 yes. starting at verse 10. Okay.
I already
so
have
when,
it up.
Oh, okay, beloved. Thank you. So we're going to look at this. And there's some things that, that are really amazing when we give it a true overall look. And, it's spoken about all of the things that the virtuous woman has to do. But we're also going to look at some things dealing with the husband. And the first thing, as we start with verse 10, there's something that we need to point out right away. So, beloved, go ahead and start reading the scripture, please.
Okay. I'm going to be reading this part of the scripture from a translation called the Passion Translation.
Mm-hmm.
So starting at verse 10, it says, "Who could ever find a wife like this one? She is a woman of strength and mighty valor. She's full of wealth and wisdom. The price paid for her was greater than many jewels. Her husband has entrusted his heart to her, for she brings him the rich spoils of victory. All throughout her life, she brings him what is good and not evil. She searches out continually to possess that which is pure and righteous. She delights in the work of her hands. She gives out revelation truth to feed others. She is like a trading ship bringing divine supplies from the merchant. Even in the night season, She arises and sets food on the table for hungry ones in her house and for others. She sets her heart upon a nation and takes it as her own, carrying it within her. She labors there to plant the living vine. She wraps herself in strength, might, and power in all her works. She tastes and experiences a better substance, and her shining light will not be extinguished, no matter how dark the night. She stretches out her hands to help the needy, and she lays hold of the wheels of government. She is known by her extravagant generosity to the poor, for she always reaches out her hands to those in need. She is not afraid of tribulation, for all her household is covered in the jewel garment of righteousness and grace. Her clothing is beautifully knit together, a purple gown of exquisite linen. Her husband is famous and admired by all, sitting as the venerable judge of his people. Even her works of righteousness she does for the benefit of her enemies. Bold power and glorious majesty are wrapped around her as she laughs with joy over the latter days. Her teachings are filled with wisdom and kindness as loving instruction pours from her lips. She watches over the ways of her household and meets every need they have. Her sons and daughters arise in one accord to extol her virtues, and her husband arises to speak of her in glowing terms. There are many valiant and noble ones, but you have ascended above them all. Charm can be misleading and beauty is vain and so quickly fades, but this virtuous woman lives in the wonder, awe, and fear of the Lord. She will be praised throughout eternity. So go ahead and give her the credit that is due, for she has become a radiant woman, and all her loving works of righteousness deserve to be admired at the gateways of every city.
Amen. 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 So as you can see, this virtuous woman was very virtuous, very, very virtuous. Loved by her family. She was recognized in the city at the gate because of her husband. Loved by her husband, the children, her servants loved her. She cared for everybody. She had skills. There was so much that she could do, and she did them, and she did them. She ran her household. She did a lot of things this woman did. And as you can see, the scripture starts out with who could find this virtuous wife. And this woman that they're speaking about, she is a wife. It's not just a virtuous woman. She is a wife. And one of the things we wanted to point out here as we look at this is that part of her being virtuous had a lot to do with her husband. It had a lot to do with the fact of how he had things set up for her. He made it possible for her to be able to do a lot of the things that she did. And so many times we have men looking for this virtuous woman versus the virtuous wife, but looking for the virtuous woman, and he himself is not the ideal man, but yet he wants the virtuous woman. And as we go through some scriptures here in Proverbs, we're going to see what the word says about the man and the ideal man, or the lack of some things that he doesn't have and so forth, and how this lines up with the virtuous woman. So although the book of Proverbs applies to both men and women, you know, these scriptures are in Proverbs 31 seem to target married women. But when you examine the entire book of Proverbs, one can plainly see that there is also a certain standard of living that men should strive for, as well as women. God did not exclude the men from the equation when it comes to an issue of virtue. And this is what I wanted for us to point out today. You know, everyone is always talking about the virtuous woman, the virtuous woman, the virtuous woman. And it seems like we just never seem to hold men to a standard. We don't hear as much harping on it as far as what a man should be and do, unless, of course, they're listening to Deacon Thomas Farr with Issues Christian Men Talk. And that's one of the reasons why I love his show so much, because of the fact that they are bringing to the table the concerns, the issues, you know, dealing with men first, godly men next, you know, but these are things that men must know in order for their households to be in order for them to be in right relationship with God. You know, so when we look at all of the qualities of this virtuous woman, this virtuous wife, all these things that have been mentioned, you know, the word also tells us that men shouldn't be lazy. They should have wisdom. They should strive to be kind and so forth and so on. So we want to look at some of those scriptures. Tabika, dear, do you have any? Okay, go ahead.
You said, do I have any? What? I'm sorry.
Okay. Do you have any of those scriptures ready or anything that you wanted to say thus far?
Yes, ma'am. I have the scriptures, and I just wanted to comment on the Proverbs 31 woman. It amazes me that, you know, that a man wrote that. That would he and his wife. And so that would be a good scripture for a man to, you know, read and to look for in a wife. I know that sometimes some women may not be at that point where this woman was as far as being a wife. So if you want to be a wife, you know, we could look at that scripture as well to see the qualities of what a wife should look like, because sometimes we see what we see in our parents' marriage if our parents were married, or if our parents weren't married, we really don't have anything to go by unless we were connected to a family where marriage was there, where there was that covenant between them and God. So a lot of times people don't have an example, and so they go by what they see. In Proverbs 31, it tells you the example of what a good wife is. So I just thought that was amazing that it came from a man.
Oh, all right. Okay, now let me throw something in there. Amazing that it came from a man, but this man made it so that his wife was able to do all of these things. And that's something that has got to be pointed out here, is the fact that men can read this scripture and say, okay, this is what a wife should look like, and this is what I'm going to look for in a wife. But then is he living up to what a man should be so that she could do the things that she could do? Because you'll see in there, not hitting on the scripture verbatim, but whereas he was well known, okay, he was very priestly, he was very wise, he took care of matters as well, which made it so that she was able to do as well as she did. And she had servants and so forth. And so one thing that I don't want women to do, and I definitely understand, you know, where you're coming from, but this man acknowledged his wife and all these great things that she did. But these were wealthy people. She had servants. And the everyday woman can't line herself up with this woman and do all the things this woman did, because this woman, I mean, the everyday woman today doesn't have all of that type of help that this woman had. Talks about how she took care of her servants, but her servants did their jobs, okay? So even though she took her briefcase and went out of house, her servants also was in the house helping to take care of the house. So that's the thing that I want to be sure that women don't overstress themselves. But, yes, acknowledge the fact here that this man saw all the good in his wife, and he acknowledged her, but he did much for her in order for her to be able to do what she did. So for a man to look for a woman like this, or for a woman to even be this way, she must be treated in the same manner that Solomon treated her, except for the 99 other wives that he had. And I'm only joking about the number. He had many wives, the man, our mates, need to be treating us well, and therefore you get out of us what you put in us as well, you know? So,
Yeah.
So go
and
ahead.
The other thing I wanted to say about Proverbs 31, verse 11, when it says that her husband has entrusted his heart to her, for she brings him the rich spoils of victory. So it says that when a woman knows that she has her husband's heart, it's easier to trust him. It's easier to want to do things for him. And when we know that we have our husband's heart, it's like we know that, you know, we have his attention. Like, he sees us, he acknowledges what it is that we've done, you know, that we're doing. He supports in what it is that maybe something that we want to do. So having our husband's heart is security, because it allows us to know that we're not doing this thing in vain. Like, you know, he sees me, he acknowledges me. It's not I'm doing everything and he's sitting home doing nothing. That is where the woman kind of disengages from her husband, when she's the one doing everything and he's doing nothing. So, yeah.
Amen, amen. And, you know, when, okay, let me see. While we were looking at that, you know, it speaks here about the fact that with her having the servants that she has, that there were nannies there that were taking care of the children. There were instructors teaching the children, washing clothes, cooking food, and so forth. So she watched over the necessary things, but she certainly isn't the only one in the house that was doing all of these things day in and day out. Her servants are the ones who are doing the chores, and she watched over them to make sure that they were right. And when her husband came home, the food that she presented to him was probably prepared by one of the servants, not necessarily her. And her husband doesn't expect her to do everything, but he adequately provides for her so that she doesn't have to do everything. You know, he made the decision, having the money, that they could afford the servants and so forth. So, excuse me. So, you know, so that was, you know, the other thing that was unique. Let me see. Anyone else that's on the line, if you would like to chime in and make a remark at this point in time, please press 1 on your keypad, and then we can pull you in so that you can make a remark. Remember that this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter, and you are the one that helps take us to that place. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Great, and you all?
Blessed as always. Thank you so much for asking.
I love your topic. One of the things that I learned is, as a woman, you have to ask God to prepare you to be a wife. You have to also surround yourself by women of God who are wives, and make sure you learn the responsibility of a wife, but you need to go to God. And when it comes to men and women in marriage, my prayer for marriage is asking God to put everyone back in their rightful places and remind them of the vows that they said to God, and to remind them of where the scripture is that tells the responsibility of a man and of a woman in a marriage.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that's what we're hoping to hit on today. You know, everybody, you know, so much, you know, see from the virtuous woman, Proverbs 31, what the woman is supposed to do, But we want to look at what the ideal man also looks like and what he doesn't look like. So thank you so much, Lady Jackie, for sharing the mission. Thank you so much. Okay. All righty. Tabika, go ahead, dear, and share some of the scriptures that you have.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with Proverbs 12 and 11. And I'm still reading from the Passion Translation. It says, work hard at your job and you'll have what you need. Following a get-rich-quick scheme is nothing but fantasy. Then Proverbs 15 and 19, nothing seems to work right for the lazy man, but life seems smooth and easy when your heart is virtuous. Proverbs 24, if you're too lazy to plant seed, it's too bad when you have no harvest on which to feed. Wow. Proverbs 21, 25 through 26, taking the easy way out is the habit of a lazy man, and it will be his downfall. All day long he thinks about all the things that he craves, but he hasn't learned the secret that the generous man has learned. Extravagant giving never leads to poverty. Proverbs 26 and 21, add fuel to the fire and the blaze goes on. So add an argumentative man to the mix and you'll keep strife alive. And then the last one I have is Proverbs 12 and 2. If your heart is right, favor flows from the Lord, but a devious heart invites his condemnation.
Amen, amen, amen. So we see here by these scriptures that a lazy man will end up begging for others to take care of him, whether it's his wife, whether it's people in the street, the panhandlers that we have. This is because a man is not working. And we know that there are some people that are in the condition and in the circumstances where they can't work. But on the whole, we're not talking about those. We're talking about lazy people who just won't work. We're talking about mama's boys who expect mother to take care of them. And then after they move out of their mother's house, they have found, and they only do that after they find a woman or women who will support them and take care of them, who will buy their clothes, their food, their cars, everything. And they feel, was entitled. They feel entitled that somebody else should be doing all the work for them. People, you know, would rather ask people for money than look for a job. And, I mean, we know that most of us, we go through changes when we see people on the street begging for money. And, you know, your heart always, you know, compassionate, you want to help. But then by the same token, you're always wondering if these people are sincere, you know, if they are sincere. Or would they rather just be on the corner begging for money versus going and doing a regular 9-to-5? As she read the scriptures, a man who makes trouble in his own home is like a fool and will inherit nothing but the wind. The wind is nothing to inherit. One cannot hold on to the wind. It is fleeting and unpredictable. It is just as bad for a man to be contentious as it is for a woman. A contentious man is quarrelsome and argumentative, and a woman is no better living in a house with a contentious husband than a man living with a wife of the same character. A contentious man is a man who complains all of the time, argues all of the time, is never satisfied, continually criticizing his wife, puts her down, and is basically a nag. He henpecks his wife, and by doing so, makes trouble in his own home. And one test of a good man is whether or not he has obtained favor of the Lord. If he is virtuous, then he is good. If he is good, then the Lord will openly bless him. People will be able to see that God has given him favor. God will not condemn him. and that is the scripture that Minister Tamika read. And there's just so many other things. You know, is he quick-tempered? How about this one? You know, a man leaves, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, not just his children, but to his children's children. So is your mate doing the things, you know, that is necessary not only to leave a legacy and an inheritance to your children, but to your children's children? This is what the scripture is saying, you know. So, again, I'm pointing out some things here, you know, whereas people always want to hold that woman to that virtuous woman thing, but what about you as a man? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? And here when it talks about the inheritance, and this, it is literally speaking of the financial blessing. It is not, it's financial security. This is not leaving a legacy of that you had some good stories to tell your children and your grandchildren and so forth. This is actually you setting up funds and so forth in order to secure your grandchildren's future. Yes, Lady Jackie, I see that you pressed one again, I believe.
Yes, I just wanted to compliment what you were saying as far as setting up an inheritance for your children, for your children's children. So you might have a man that's listening today and feel like he needs some assistance. So then you have Deacon Thomas Farr, who has an awesome, profound men's ministry. God makes resources available to us, but we have to use them in order for us to be equipped, empowered, and encouraged, and not use excuses. My dad wasn't there for me. My mom wasn't there for me. So that's for women. You have an awesome women's ministry, an awesome family church. And I'm talking about people in and outside the body of Christ. The resources that you need to be better are available for you, so you don't have to use excuses, but you got to do it by faith. God says faith without works is dead, so you have to do the work in order for the change to happen, in order for scriptures manifesting your life. God is not going to force anything on you. He's made everything available to us, but sometimes we can be our worst enemy. We can stand in our own way.
Thank you so very much for that. Thank you. Amen. Amen. We look here, too, at the scripture where it speaks about Proverbs 14 and 17. It says, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. That's Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. Proverbs 19:19, a man of great wrath will suffer punishment, for if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. So a man with a bad temper should be avoided and not befriended. His anger is contagious and provoking. Men who are quick-tempered act foolishly and stir up strife. Eventually, a man with a bad temper will get himself into trouble. He will have to be bailed out of his trouble often. Because of this, it seems plausible to assume that a virtuous man should be slow to anger. A virtuous man is a godly man, and a godly man does not look to do wrong, is not perverse, does not cause strife amongst friends, is not violent, does not provoke his neighbor, does not comely plot with others to involve himself in perverted acts and does not say anything that would bring about evil. A virtuous man behaves wisely. He knows how to hold his tongue and say the right things. He is a man of understanding and knows how to speak calmly. He thinks before he speaks and knows when it is best not to say anything. It is a good man. It is good for a man to be friendly. If he is friendly, then it follows that he doesn't have a bad temper. It is also desirous of a man to be kind. Part of being virtuous is being friendly and kind. A good and virtuous man would not disrespect his mother or his father. He will not mistreat his parents in any way. He will honor his mother and father as commanded in the scripture. He will not act in ways that will put his parents to shame. So the question is asked, but who can find this faithful man? The fact that the question is even asked gives indication that it is difficult to find a faithful man. The same is true when looking at the question about the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31:10. The description of a virtuous woman first begins with the question, who can find a virtuous wife? This tells us that finding a virtuous wife that matches up to Solomon's virtuous wife can be just as difficult as the finding a truly faithful man. A man who proclaims his own goodness and sees all of his ways as right in his eyes is a self-righteous man who lacks faith. Proverbs 20:6 teaches us that most men like this, which is why it is difficult, most men are like this, which is why it is difficult to truly find a faithful man. And it goes on speaking about the self-righteous man and who doesn't take correction well. He feels that he has no need for correction. He does not applaud his own righteousness and does not appear hysterical to others. This is a man that lives holy at that point. So as you can see that that when these things that I was just reading to you about what a good man does or a virtuous man, you don't hear very much talk about that when it comes to, you know, looking for our mates or what we should expect, ladies, what we should expect for our mates. You know, people, it's easy to point out what we should be doing as wives, but there definitely are many things that men should be doing that will make it comfortable for you to be the woman that he should be. If the mate that you're hooking yourself with is one of pride, he should be avoided. Arrogance, have a haughty attitude. These are actions that can be confused and cause issues in your relationships and so forth. So be mindful of this. What are your thoughts on this, Lady Tabika?
Yes, I believe that what you're saying as far as these things should be pointed out, or these scriptures should be used during marriage counseling, because mm-hmm. even though it applies to men and women, the woman had a section in Proverbs 31, you know, that specifically where he talked about the woman, the wife. Mm-hmm. But these things I believe should be taught in marriage counseling, because it deals with what God is actually saying as far as, and I don't want to make it a gender thing, but as far as male and what their responsibility is when it comes to being a husband, these are good things to point out, because I think that sometimes roles get reversed. I've even seen where a man is working, but when a woman makes more money than him, it becomes an issue, because now he feels less of a man because the woman makes more money than him. I've seen that cause chaos in a marriage. I've seen jealousy. I've seen where arguments come arise because the woman makes more money than the male. Also, when the man isn't working, you know, he feels less than. And mm-hmm. I understand that times come when the male may find himself out of work for whatever reason, but it's when you choose to allow your wife to keep working and paying all the bills and getting up every morning and going to work. That's the issue that I have, you know, because now you're just sitting around and you're able to work, but now you become lazy. And the scripture that said, in the scripture, Proverbs 20:4, where it says, if you're too lazy to plant seeds, it's too bad when you have no harvest on which to feed. And so that goes to say, and I'm not advocating divorce. Hear me on this one. I'm not advocating divorce. But if the woman is the one that's going out every morning, going to work, making the money, paying the bills, feeding the household, and taking care of every little thing that goes on, and you're sitting home and you're doing nothing, if she decides enough is enough, it is not her fault that you have no harvest on which to feed on because you decided to sit home and do nothing. So the men that then go after the woman when she decides that she's had enough, the men that go after the woman for spousal support because she's the one making the money and he decided to stay home, you know, that shows that there is an issue with the man. That shows that somewhere deep down inside there's something going on with him, but pride, that pride had him in that space where he didn't even want to talk to his wife about it. You know, when the wife would try to talk to him about it, he didn't want to talk about it. He wanted to push her away. He wanted to start argument, you know, so that the focus could become something else and off of him. So I really think that these particular scriptures should be taught in marriage counseling, because then if the male didn't know what his role was in a marriage, at least he knows it, and he knows biblically what God expects of him and the woman too, because you know we have some women that are used to men taking care of them. And they don't want to do anything but allow the male to take care of them. They don't want to work. And this is the thing. If the husband agrees that the wife doesn't have to work, that's one thing. But if there's no agreement on that and the man is like talking to his wife, look, you know, we need more income in the house right now. But even if it's just a part-time job, you know, can you just help me out? And, you know, she don't want to come to agreement with him. You know, that's an issue. We look at our males as kings, and which they should be, of the household. But if they were never raised or taught to be kings, you know, and then the woman tries to come in as the wife trying to basically raise the male and trying to show him how to be a king, that's not gonna work. And so I think that if he did not have that growing up, you know, where nobody taught him how to be a man, nobody taught him how to be a king, nobody taught him how to take care of, you know, his family, then when he meets a woman and this is the woman he wants to be with, it's so important to have marriage counseling, because I truly believe in marriage counseling, that is when he will find out his role as a male, even if he wasn't taught.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that input. Thank you for that input. Let me... If I can do this quickly, let me take us back as I'm, you know, going through this book about God being a chauvinist. And, you know, the question is God a chauvinist? And, of course, the answer is no, because this book is all about the Bible and women and how God really is on all of our behalf, but how he really has stood up for the woman. But let's go back here, and Lord help me to get this done in the time that we have left. But going back to when Adam and Eve lived in the garden, and so I just want to bring out some things that really I was like, wow, God, okay, I got it. They were in the garden, and God created a woman to help Adam, because the animals and the birds that God had created to help Adam were not suitable. And it should be emphasized that the woman, Eve, was created to help Adam tend to things in the garden, not tend and take care of the garden all by herself without him. Okay, so it was never meant for the woman to be the one to be the breadwinner of the household. She was to help her mate. And it says, the Lord said to the man, you listened to your wife, you ate the fruit from that tree, and so the ground will be under a curse because of what you did. As long as you live, you will have to struggle to grow enough food. Your food will be plants, but the ground will produce thorns and thistles. You will have to sweat to earn a living. You were made out of soil, and you will once again turn into soil. Now, because Adam had ate from the forbidden fruit, the ground was cursed so that Adam would have to work hard to provide for himself and his family. This was God's specific punishment for Adam, and it was a curse that will affect all men through the ages to come. Initially, with no effort on Adam's part, the food sprouted from the ground in the Garden of Eden. The garden was always producing. However, because of their sins, Adam and Eve were banished from the Garden of Eden, and from then on, Adam would have to tend cursed soil instead of tending the ever-producing soil in the Garden of Eden. He had to work very hard, and after the curse, Adam was specifically assigned to toil a ground stubborn in production. The ground was not cursed because of what Eve did. The ground was cursed because of what Adam did. Therefore, a rough terrain was now his to toil. Eve's punishment was different than that of Adam's. As discussed before, Eve was to endure two different punishments distinct from the punishment that Adam was to endure. And let's look at that again. Genesis 3:16, then he said to the woman, you will bear children with intense pain and suffering, and though your desire will be for your husband, he will be your master. To the woman, okay, and then another translation in NIV, to the woman he said, I will greatly increase your pain in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. So both translations are saying the same thing. The woman's punishment was that she would have pain in childbearing and that her husband would rule over her. Now, as clearly as it's shown, Eve's punishment did not include toiling the ground. In other words, her curses did not include working hard to make a living. Her husband was cursed with that, not her. The curses that God placed on Adam, Eve, and the serpent are still in operation today. Since men are the ones that are supposed to work to bring money into the household, they are the ones that are supposed to sweat from their brows in an attempt to provide enough for the family. But in today's Western society, many men seem perfectly content to have their wives work outside of the home in order to make ends meet. Many wives, therefore, consequently end up working by the sweat of their brows in order to help financially support the family. The husband is the one who should endure the sweat of the brow curse. The wife has enough curses to endure without having to take on extra responsibility of the husband's curse. Of course, if the husband and the wife agree that she should work outside of the house, then so be it. But even in the agreement as such, a man who benefits from his wife working outside of the house should realize that his wife is taking on much of the burden of his punishment. A man should be cognizant of this and therefore be willing to reciprocate his wife's sacrifice by sharing in the burden of housework and kids' work, since his wife is sharing in his burden of working to financially support the family. And if he truly loves his wife like Christ loves the church, then he should understand this and be willing to be willing to do it. So it goes on speaking about the fact that, you know, that a woman that works outside of the house, she has basically almost three jobs. She has her 9-to-5 outside of the house. She comes home. She has the job of taking care of the household. And then the third one is taking care of the children. The taking care of the household is doing the laundry, the cooking, the cleaning, you know, the paying of the bills and all of that stuff, and then taking care of the children. And this is when she does not have the help of the man. So she is suffering under his curse, working by the sweat of her brow, and then living under the curse that was on her. And so too many times in too many homes, men are expecting women to go out, help, you know, with all of the finances, come home, run everything in the household, take care of the children, do the homework, do the bathing and all of that stuff, do the cooking and the cleaning and so forth. And this goes on, and that woman is not physically equipped to even do that, let alone mentally and spiritually equipped. And yet we've been forced into it in some circumstances. There are other circumstances where, you know, the woman just desires to work on the outside. She doesn't have to because the man does make enough money. And when that is the case, to God be the glory, but then she should only work in those part-time positions where then she's still able to do her household duties and so forth, unless, you know, she wants to work again full time and they together can afford to get whatever help that they need to see to that everything is running smooth. But it was very interesting. It is very interesting that if a man comes to the wife and asks her to work outside of the home, then he's asking her to do what he should be also willing to do, and that's working two jobs. So as we can see, and Tabik, I'll use you as an example, you and your husband, as we can see, you know, you work outside of the home, your husband works outside of the home, but by the same token, he comes home and he does work in the home. He, you know, he helps with the cooking mm-hmm. and the cleaning and so forth, you know. So he does not put all of that on you where you have to do a full-time job, then come home and do everything that there is to do in the household and so forth. He shares in right. those responsibilities, you know. And yes, so and that's what Father is looking for. Go ahead, baby. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, yes, ma'am. And just to be yes. transparent, you know, in my marriage about that, we joke because it seems like he, you know, he's the one, he works hard. He really works hard, you know, where he works is mm-hmm. it's things that he has to go through on his job. And then he comes home and he, you know, cooks breakfast for me so that when I, you know, get up to go to work, I already have breakfast and, you know, he cooks. But that's because that's what he likes to do. And he mm-hmm. doesn't complain about it. He also helps, you know, clean the kitchen. I help clean the kitchen. We wash clothes, you know, so. It's like he's not the one that'll go to work and then come home and say, "Well, I've been at work all day. You do that." You know, it's almost like he has no issue with then coming home and then helping out in the house or making sure that I have everything. I mean, I'm spoiled. You know, what else can mm-hmm. I say? I'm spoiled because he spoiled me. But it's not a thing that he's not okay with it. He's okay with it. Mm-hmm. So if he's okay with mm-hmm. it, then I'm okay with it. But if it comes to a point where he's never okay with it, then I know that, okay, now I have to do what it is that he's asking me to do because I don't want him to be burnt out and leave this earth early because he didn't take care of himself. So that's where mm-hmm. we are in our marriage. We get along great.
Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Well, beloved, we have definitely come to the end of our hour, and I'm going to have to get Elder West to redo our audio clips, you know, that introduces the show and closes us out. But with that being said, we will close out with our circle of blessing. And, beloved, again, I thank all of you. Tabika, thank you for doing your first day as a co-host to the show.
Amen.
Welcome.
Amen.
Thank you. Bless you. Amen. It's awesome. It's awesome. And to the rest of you, thank you again for all of your support and your love. Now, beloved, above all things, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings that he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. Therefore, I beseech you in the name of Jesus that you go forth even this day and be a blessing unto someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. Know that I love you with all my heart, but no matter how much I love you, know that God loves you more. Take care, my love. God bless you, and see you back here next Saturday. Bye-bye.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Amen. Bye.